Good morning, Discovery. So glad that you chose to worship with us today. If you can, will you stand and worship with us? We're going to sing some songs today. We're going to praise God in this place. We were just getting you ready.
I don't hear any of you guys in my ear.
Are you plugged in? Are you?
One, two. One, two. We just need my vocals coming through the system.
We're not getting vocals through the in-ears.
Y'all can hear it, but we can't, and that makes it weird. There we go.
Well, I got her, but I don't hear vocals at all.
Testing.
Yep. Nope. No.
Technical difficulties.
Hope y'all had a good week. It's gonna be a warm one today, so drink lots of water. Yeah, we can't hear the vocals. All right.
It's everything but vocals.
So y'all going to have to help us because we can't hear ourselves. So you're going to have to sing loud. It's going to be awesome. Let's do it. Let everything. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'll praise in the valley. Praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure. I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered. And praise when surrounded. oh my soul.
Go ahead and take your seats. Welcome to Discovery. Y'all did a fantastic job helping us lead that song. We can hear ourselves now. It's a total different experience. Welcome to Discovery once again. My name is Bobby. I'm one of the leaders here, and I'm so glad that you chose to worship with us here. When you came in today, you got one of these welcome folders, and there's a lot of great things happening at Discovery. And so we want you to have this and so that you can know what those things are. Some highlights. That are happening today at the end of service, we're gonna have baptisms. Woo! Yes, this is not a jacuzzi, this is where we're gonna have baptisms, and that's why it's here. The water is perfect, and so if you're interested, if you're here today, and you have a nudge on your heart, a tug on your soul that you want to publicly proclaim what God is doing in your life, we can do that for you here today, just let us know. Another thing that's happening today, is we're going to have our field day finale today, yes, at 4 p.m. at Mary Lyon Elementary School. It's our last Disco Days of Summer event. It's happening today. It's our opportunity to celebrate the summer days and outdoor activities with everyone. There'll be field games, game day snacks, and community fun. I'll be there, and if there's a cornhole match that you'd like to have, let me know. Let me know. I'm really good at it. So here's what you can expect today. We're going to continue worshiping. We'll continue. I think this is the final week in our series of Believe. Pastor John is going to lead us in walking through his sermon today. And we'll respond to God's word in prayer and worship, and we're going to celebrate baptisms. But before we do that, we're going to go back into a couple more songs of worship. So if you can, will you stand and worship with us?
He heard
by Jesus, who pulled me out of that pit. He did, he did, who paid for all of our sins. Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave. Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise. Nobody but Jesus.
Today's service, we're going to hold baptisms. And when we do that, all of heaven is going to celebrate that we get to be in unison with what's happening in heaven in that moment. And even right now, the Bible says that in front of God, in his throne room, they are singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God Almighty." So we don't have to wait until the end of the service. That right now, we can unite with heaven and worship our King. Amen. Let's worship.
All have gone before us.
be seated. I'm going to invite you while you're getting, finding your seat, to just bow with me for a moment. We're going to pray. We sing about your glory on Sundays. This morning, just hearing that word echo through the rafters here in this cafeteria, a whole congregation of people calling out for you to be glorified is really amazing and beautiful. And Father, it's our prayer that it would not just reside, this longing for glory would not just reside with some melodies, with some church songs. The thing that brings you the most glory is a life that is completely surrendered unto you. You have so little patience with the externals of human efforts of worship. In fact, the Old Testament says that the eyes of the Lord move across the whole earth, looking for a heart who's completely dedicated to you. You said so clearly that it's not sacrifices that you delight in, but in a life surrendered to follow you. The greatest verse on worship uttered by Jesus is the worship the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength. So, Father, this morning as we gather in this place and we have sung together beautifully about glory and may you be glorified, Father, what we're asking is we're asking for your will to take residence in our own life, in our own lives, and that our hands and our feet, our hearts and our mind would be dedicated to living life your way. There is no better way. Some of us this week, we've been going in the opposite way. And so right now, I'm going to ask you, wherever you are, if there's some things that you need to confess before God. It doesn't have to be loud enough so anybody else can hear, just between you and God. Say, God, here's some things I've been walking in that have been opposite of your heart for me. Some things I've been thinking, saying, doing that I know have been interrupting the will of God in my life. So right now, just take a minute and confess those things to God. For some of us in the room, that's not the worry right now. It's hard for you to think about the will and the purposes and mission of God because you're struggling with physical, emotional, relational pain, and it is so heavy. There's uncertainty. Right now, I'm going to encourage you before God, just say, God, I'm struggling to see because my eyes are filled with tears. You'd help me see this morning and long for your will above all things. And I'm sure that some people right now in this room, you're even somewhat checked out. You're a little numb and indifferent. And let me give you just a little challenge this morning. Maybe in your prayer right now, you might pray something like this. God, could you jumpstart my heart? I'm not even sure what it would look like. I need you to do something I can't do. Jesus, we thank you for these moments. Align us with your will, and may you be glorified, not just in words, but in life. life. In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, worship team. Oh, thanks, Mike. Wow, that's awesome. Thanks. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Morning.
Some of you are like, where's the air conditioner? We did not bring the air conditioner, so here's what I'm going to do. I figure if I just preach long enough, you'll go to sleep and you won't even know that you're hot. Hey, we're glad that you're here, and summer's almost over, and some of you, that is a lament, and some of you, you're like, thank you. So there's a few parents in this room that are like, please let summer be over. We need some semblance of order in our life. And Austin, can you turn me down just a smidge? There you go. Thank you. So welcome to Believe. I think Bobby said a little bit earlier. He might have said that this is our last week. It's not. We have one more week in our series. So next week will be our last week in this Believe series. And this summer, 2025, we have dedicated it to doing this survey of the New Testament book of Romans. And it's not just a survey of the book of Romans. We've been talking about the essentials. We talk about the foundations of faith, what Jesus people have really believed for 2,000 years. And we've been talking not just like intellectually what makes Jesus people different intellectually or philosophically. We've been talking about how it lives different in our lives. And so for the last, gosh, I don't know, it'll be 9 weeks and we're done. So the last 6 or 7 weeks, we've talked about what we believe about God, what we believe about Jesus, what we believe about the Holy Spirit, what we believe about God's Word. We talked last week about what we believe about the human experience. And I think even last week I said that these last couple of weeks here are going to be sort of a capstone. What we're going to try to do is we're going to try to synergize, bring together the things we've been talking about, and talk about how they live out in our lives. And so that's what we're doing this week and next week as well. So anyway, last week, let's see, how did we end last week? Last week we talked about the human experience, and we talked about how Jesus people believe that human beings are the imago, anybody remember? Imago Dei. That means we're the image bearers of God. We're not accidents. We're not just something that has evolved in creation. Instead, we are intentionally designed by God to reflect God's character, His mission, His purpose. We are the reflection of God. So intentionally made by God as image bearers. And so... But there's an and. We're not just this amazing image bearer of God with incredible value. God has also given us a thing called will, okay? And last week we talked about how the human experience, we wither under the weight, and wither takes on new meaning today when we're so hot, right? But we wither under the weight of our will. And what does that mean? It means that you and I have been given the ability to make choices. And as human beings, we make them. And everybody in this room, in fact, Romans chapter 3 says there's so many things that make us unique. Like, we look different. Line us up, we look different. We like different things, but there's one thing that makes us like everybody else. Romans 3:23 says this: all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And one of the things that makes us like everybody else, you and me, we're all in the same boat, is that this will, this beautiful thing that lets us love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the truth is we've leveraged that against God. Amen? I know it's not an exciting amen, but do you agree? Like, have you felt it in your life? Like, we push against God. And so it's not just this, oh, shucks. You know, that falling short thing, it makes it seem like it's a boo-boo. It's just a little catching or get along. A couple chapters later, in Romans chapter 6, it gets a little bit tougher. So Romans 6, Paul writes this. He says, not it's just that all have fallen short. He says the wages, you know that thing that you get every 2 weeks? You know, some of you, it's like once a month or in the week, we get a check. Used to be you get a check. Now you just look online and there's a little deposit there. And that deposit from wherever it is that you work, that's a payment for your life that you gave. And so in Romans 6, Paul writes this, there's a payment for all of your choices. Okay, it's not just, aw shucks, we fell short. In Romans 6, 23, it says this, the wages of sin is death. And guys, I know we try to sugarcoat this a little bit. The Bible doesn't sugarcoat it. Like, your obstinance, my obstinance against God, his design, his mission, his will, his commands, it produces temporal death. You've seen it, right? You've seen it in some of your friendships. Anybody watch your friendship dissolve because of stupidity? Just kind of raise your hand if you saw a friendship. So some of you have watched some friendships dissolve because of stupidity. Some of you have watched your work relationships dissolve because of, I'm just calling it stupidity. It's the nicest way to say it. But like sin, and it erupts in our relationships, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our homes. And so the Bible tells us there's a consequence for sin. There's a temporal consequence, and there is an eternal one. The wages of sin is, what was the word again? Death. And again, so the book of Romans is not pulling punches. It's not saying, listen, it's just, you got to kind of work through it. It's like, here's the deal. The human experience, we are made in the image of God, but we're withering on the weight of our will. Our choices have created a separation, an eternal separation between us and God. It's painful. It's eternal. Now, was the verse up here? I was just looking at you guys. So I kind of stopped mid-verse. Some of you are like, why did you stop? There's some good stuff. So Romans 6:23, can we have that up here again? So it says, the wages of sin is death. And then I love in the Bible the word but, right? So Paul's talking about this. There's a collision here in the human experience between our withering will that is destroying everything in our life and the will of God. What God chooses to do, he says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we understand as Jesus followers that we are made in the image of God. We have withered under the weight of our will. We've made dumb decisions that separate us from human beings and relationships, but mostly eternally from God. But God in his mercy and his grace sent his one and only Son to redeem us, to save us. It's an incredible gift. We call it the good news. There's another word for that. It's called the gospel, okay? Gospel is not a kind of music. Well, it is a kind of music. But the gospel is good news. That broken people like you and me can be saved. And again, let's be really clear. The book of Romans isn't just saying that this is a theoretical thing for humanity. While that may be true, it is also so specifically applicable to you. Because I love Romans 10:13. If you've been around Discovery, it's like, I don't know, every other week or so, we read Romans 10:13. It's a short verse, but it's so meaningful. Let's have it. Do we have it up here by chance? Yeah. Can we read it out loud together? Yeah. Everybody. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that awesome? So that means it doesn't matter what you've done, where you are, where you've been, or where you are going. It doesn't matter how much has happened in your life. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is amazing. Anybody? I mean, that is awesome stuff. And so last week, we kind of walked through that journey together about the human experience, and we talked about this is how God sees us. He sees us as the imago Dei. He sees our brokenness, still loves us. And then we talked last week about this, how this should impact how we see other people, recognizing that God's also pursuing them. And we also talked about them not being done. What we didn't talk about last week is this. We didn't talk about how we view ourselves. And while all of this that I just read is so amazing and healing, so restorative and freeing, I mean, it is. Until it isn't. And I think you know what I mean. Some of you can remember when you were 11 years old and you were at a camp. For the first time, the gospel made sense to you. And you invited Jesus into your life. And it was just this wave of healing swept over you. Some of you, you were 21. And you're picking your life back up. You watched the pieces fall apart. And for the first time, you understood the gospel. And you invited Jesus into your life. And he came in. And it was amazing. Anybody? Some of you, you were 35, okay? Like, you can remember the day you asked Jesus into your life. And you're like, man, that was amazing. I watched him, like, heal me, restore me. It was like this wave. And then you wake up one day. You're not planning it. But you're brushing your teeth, and you're looking in the mirror, and you say to yourself, what happened? How come I'm looking not at the new man, but the old man? You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I don't think it'll be up here, but it says this. It says, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. That sounds so good, but there's some days you look in the mirror and you're like, I don't feel new anymore. Like, what do you do when you invited Jesus into your life, but you keep falling back into the same patterns? You're struggling with the same addiction. You're hitting the wall again. Does it mean that you lost something? Does it mean that God left, that you lost your standing as a child of God? What does it mean when you don't feel that anymore? This morning, that's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. We're going to talk about how you and I are to see ourselves in view of some of the same old crap. And what I want you to do is I want you to open your Bible to the book of Romans, and we are going to read together maybe the most loved passage in the book of Romans for this very purpose. And so some of you probably already know where to go. The rest of you are like, stop hinting, just tell me. So I want you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And by the way, we should read the whole chapters, and we don't have time this morning, so I think over lunch or sometime before you fall asleep, read the entire chapter of Romans 8. But just to kind of set the stage, just so you know, I'm pulling this out of nowhere. Romans 8 is preceded by Romans. See, this isn't that bad. Okay, you guys. So it's preceded by Romans 7. Okay, so Romans 7 is sort of the preamble. It's sort of the introduction to Romans 8. And by the way, what precedes Romans 7? Six. Okay, so I've been walking you through this morning a journey to get here. And Romans chapter 1 opens up. The heart of Romans 1 is this: God has revealed himself to every man, woman, and child. He's not hidden. And then by the time we get to Romans 3, we're having this introduction to we call it the sin problem, the weight of our will. Romans 3 says all have fallen short of the glory of God. And so then we get to Romans 6, and Paul says, well, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And by the way, I skipped Romans 5. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love toward us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Paul's already taken us on this entire journey of the gospel. By the time we get to Romans 7, the reader should understand, I get it. Jesus came to save me. I am all in. So by the time we get to Romans 7, let's just say we get the gospel and we get Jesus. But by the time we get to Romans 7, Paul says, even though I get it, I'm brushing my teeth in the mirror sometimes. And here, let's read this together just to get us warmed up for Romans 8. Verse 21. Paul's brushing his teeth. And he says, I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see this entirely different law at work in me. And it's waging a war inside my body. Anybody say amen? Never feel it? Amen. There's a war inside of me. It's waging against the law of my mind, and it makes me a prisoner of the law of sin that's at work within me. And then Paul writes in verse 24, and I think you could probably resonate with him. He says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" So Paul's bringing up all this stuff. Like, what do you do? How do you navigate? Because this is hard. And by the way, he doesn't leave us hanging. He, Romans 7:25, he says this, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." I see this as Paul's starting to sing the song. He's like, let me sing the song. Jesus is the one who saves me, okay? I get that. I'm not wretched. But now he goes to chapter 8. He says, like, how do we navigate this tension between these hands and these feet that keep falling in the same pattern and Jesus who has saved me and redeemed me? So here's where we are. We've led up to this, Romans 8. I want you to skip down to verse 31. Paul writes this. "So what then shall we say in response to all of these things?" The tension between who I'm called to be and who I wrestle with every day. Paul says this. "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Everybody? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 36, as it was written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all, and what kind of things? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Amen. You can probably see already why this is one of the most loved passages of Scripture, certainly one of the most loved passages in the book of Romans. The truth is that God wants us to see ourselves the way that he sees us. Even in light of or in view of our failures, our temptations, our struggles, and even our sin. What does it mean when I've fallen in the same hole again? Days after a fantastic Sunday experience. Like all this that we're talking about, it reads so great on Sunday, but sometimes Monday hits hard, amen? And Tuesday and Wednesday and by Thursday, you're like, how do I make sense of it? What does it mean? And I want to share with you four things that it means. Number one, I'm trying to work out how to say this just right because it writes better than it really says, but I'm just going to go. What does it mean? First, nothing. The things that are happening in your life mean nothing about your status as a child of God. And I'm talking about your temptation. I'm talking about the ongoing struggle in your life. I'm talking about your sin. I'm talking about your continual failure in some things. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that God has left you in any way. It means nothing except that you remain a child of the King. What you cannot gain by religious execution, you cannot lose by continuing to mess it all up. Amen? I don't know if anybody's ever gone to the principal's office. Anybody here ever go to the principal's office? Thank you, guys. That's not fair for you to say that, Kristen. Your office is next to the principal's office all the time. I don't know your guys' experience, but I was kind of an anomaly for my mama because I had the best grades, and I was always in the principal's office, and I was always causing trouble. And you know, I want to tell you that the worst way to be sent to the principal's office was with a note. Anybody? Like it was far better if someone dragged me there by my ear. And I guess they don't do that anymore, but they did it back then. You know, drag me by the back of my neck. That was far better. But a note, when the teacher says, John, and you come up to the desk, and she writes out a note, folds it up, and says, take this to the office. You're like, that's the worst. Because you're carrying with you, like this, your guilt and your shame. It's all wadded up here. And you walk, at first you walk out with some triumphant out of the classroom. I'm out, suckers. And then, like a few steps down the hallway, you're like, you know what? This note, this is going to go poorly. You know, my family's going to see this note. And you eventually make it in the office, and that lady smiles at you until you hand her the note. And then all of a sudden, her glasses come down, and she gives you that disappointment. And you just feel the guilt and shame, and then you just sit in one of those chairs. The chairs are always too big in the office. Your feet never hit. It's like they know they want you to feel small. And you just, the whole time you're holding that sweaty note in your hand and you're thinking, God, please dissolve this thing, right? Now, I want you to imagine, and some of you, like clearly Tad, this is not hard to imagine, right, Tad? So maybe Mike, I think Mike's had the same problems, right? So it's not hard. But can you imagine just for a moment holding that soggy note that filled with your constant reminder of your loserness, okay? And can you imagine for a moment when the principal's office, that door swings open, and instead of the principal, it's God. What Paul wants us to see here is that I know that you hold this constant reminder with you of all your failures and your sins and how you don't measure up and you don't fit in. But when that door opens and it's the face of God, he kneels down and he lifts your chin up and he says, you're my kid. Let me have that. We've got it. You are never going to lose his affection. You are never going to lose your standing as a child of God. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Verse 34. No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who is raised to life, watch this, guys, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Paul's saying, listen, I know that you just screwed up last night, but I want you to know why you were blowing it. Do you know that Jesus himself is at the right hand of the throne of God, and he's not just interceding for a general humanity. He is interceding before God for you at this very moment, and he hasn't stopped, and he won't stop tomorrow. He will never give up on you. You are his kid forever. Amen? What does it mean when you keep falling into the same things? About your status as a child of God, it means absolutely nothing. John 10, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You might write this down. Some of you, you're wondering about, does God still see you? Write John 10 down. Jesus says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and nobody can take them out of my daddy's hand. I got a big daddy. Ain't nobody bigger. Nobody will take you out of the Father's hand. 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to stop wavering about your status as his child. Some of you are parents. You don't want your child to ever question your love, your admiration. You want them to know. And God wants the same thing for you. Hebrews chapter 13, God has said, never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. What does it mean? When you keep falling in the same stuff, what does it mean? About your status, everybody say it? Absolutely nothing. I am and will always be a child of the King because of the work of Jesus Christ. Second thing, that my thing is our thing. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered a sheep to be slaughtered. Paul writes this. You know why he writes this? He writes this because he knows everybody understands. Because part of the human landscape is suffering and difficulty. Why are you going through this particular thing? Because your mama did. And because her mama did. And because her mama did. It's because whether or not they show it on Instagram, they are navigating it as well. It's part of the landscape right now. As a Jesus follower, you are truly stuck between heaven and earth. And in this place, we are still experiencing the pain of this journey. In fact, when Paul says it, he says, as it is written, he's actually quoting from Psalm 44. Psalm 44 says it, I'll just read it. You're going to see it's exactly the same. Yet for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered a sheep to be slaughtered. Why does he quote Psalm 44? He's saying, listen, we have been saying this for hundreds of years. In fact, the psalmist goes on. He takes it even a further step. I want to read you Psalm 44, 23. The psalmist says, by the way, we're considered a sheep to be slaughtered. So awake, God. Why are you sleeping? Rouse yourself. Don't reject us forever. Paul's taking the reader back to this moment. Like, God, it hurts. This hurts. It feels like you're not awake. Feels like you don't see me. And Paul's saying, but it's the completely opposite. He sees you and he knows you. You are in a place in a moment that every other man, woman, child is walking through. Your things, our things. 1 Corinthians 10, write this one down. No temptation has overtaken you, except what is common. And God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. Why? And what does it mean? It means nothing about my status. It does mean that I'm doing life like all my brothers and sisters. And third, it means that some things are still to change. It means God's not done. Verse 37, I like how it starts. No. And all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul's writing, listen, what is true is God is not done. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. And God wants you and me to see that we are not victims. We are victors in the making. You're not a victim. You're not a victim of your circumstances. You're not a victim of that person. You're not a victim of even yourself. You are a victor in the making. Right now, you are still in the plant. You're still in the Ferrari plant. Did you know that? That you are a Ferrari, but you're in the middle of the assembly line. And I know that you're impatient. I know that you want to be like hitting grand slams every time. I know that you want to be killing it and be free from the sin and the struggle and the pain, but God is not done building the Ferrari yet. But he wants you to know you're in the plant, that the end goal is he is going to complete what he has started in you. I shared it with you last week. I want you to write it down again, Philippians 1:6. Be confident. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He won't quit. You are tempted to quit. He won't quit. He is making something beautiful in your life. And yes, when I look in the mirror and I see the failure, the struggle, the hurt, the pain, it is a sign. Not that God has quit, but I'm still in the assembly plant. He is still building something beautiful. And why I may share tears for yesterday, this morning I'm going to rejoice that this breath is a sign that he's not done. Last one, number four. What does all this mean? It means everything will fail except one. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everything will fail except one, and it's God himself. He will not fail. He will not fail to accomplish his purposes in the world. Amen? Amen. No nation, no business, no law. Nothing can stand up against the will of God. Amen? And it is true about the big world. It is also true about you. God will win. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us. You will stumble. Amen? I know you're not enthusiastic about it, but just because you agree with me, could you disagree with me? We will stumble. People around us will stumble. Your body will give out. Your mind and your heart will play tricks on you. But Jesus will never fail. What he has begun, he will complete. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Father, it has been my prayer, and I just want to pray it over your church. Father, I'm praying right now that you would build a deep, deep conviction that is not rooted in any way in pride, accomplishment, the work of self. God, I pray in this room that you would build such a humble confidence in the saving work of your Son Jesus. A saving work that is not just theoretical and for the general human experience, but the saving work that is powerful and effective in this life, these hands, this journey. Father, I'm praying right now that you would develop a confidence, not a self-confidence, but a confidence in the work of your Son Jesus in the life of every man and woman in this room. That's what makes it the gospel and the good news. It's not good news if we work harder and we clean up our act and start some new habits and do 3 points we learn every week. That's not good news. The good news is that men and women created with incredible value, marred by their own choices, are not cast aside, disposed of, but have been redeemed by the life, death, and resurrection of your Son Jesus. And wow, you redeem what everybody else would give up on. You redeem. And God, it is hard to look in the mirror and be so pumped up on a Sunday, but on a Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, look in the mirror and see that old man creeping in. Father, I pray that when we look in the mirror, we would see something else. I pray that we'd be seeing the incredible work of Jesus. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Let us not be yoked again to a yoke of slavery. God, bring freedom. I'm going to give you a moment. You pray what you need to pray. If it's inviting Jesus into your life for the first time, man, don't delay that. If it's praying today, Jesus, help me remember that I am your child. And somehow even these things that I wrestle with, you're going to have victory over, that I am this conqueror more than that. And you just pray what you need to pray. I'm going to give you a minute. Jesus, thank you for these moments this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 These are pretty, I've been looking forward to a couple months talking about this. I think that this is an overlooked, but maybe one of the more important. So in the church world, we call them doctrines. Sometimes there's a phrase, an old phrase called the perseverance of the saints. I think it's one of the more overlooked things that we don't talk about enough, and I think hinders the freedom that God wants for you to have and live in, walk in. You are more than conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Amen? You have a gift that you didn't earn. If you couldn't earn it, you sure can't lose it. It's kept for you. Right now, in the very throne room of heaven, Jesus is right next to the Father. And he's praying for you. He's interceding for you. He's doing it on your best day. And he's doing it on your worst. The worship team is going to invite you to worship. And then we're going to also have our giving back to God in a moment. And then we're going to celebrate a baptism. And so hang with us for that. We're going to invite some kids to come in during this worship song. If you would like to talk with somebody about the things that we talked about today, I want to highlight a couple of people you could talk to. Tad in the back. Tad, raise your hand. And then Barb over here on the right. Great person to talk to or pray with you. Kathy is here. Raise your hand. You can just pull them aside quietly if you want to say, can we just talk for a couple of minutes? Anyway, thank you.
Thanks for being here as we prepare for baptism. We're going to do a couple things right now. We're going to have some small humans come in, be a part of this part of the service with us. And we're going to have some friends pass some baskets around during our giving back to God time. So this is your opportunity. If you came ready to give today, in your welcome folder, you receive a couple items. One of those was an offering envelope. You can place your gift in this envelope, or you can use the instructions on the front to give your gift today. If this is your first time here, we don't want you to even imagine putting anything in this envelope. We'd love to have your connection card, though. This will help us to understand how you heard about us, what we can pray for you, be in agreement with prayer for you about, or what we can celebrate what God is doing in your life. So those are the options you have as our giving back to God time begins, and we're going to worship. Young people, we're going to worship. Y'all going to help me? Right. So as the baskets come around and as you feel the need, go ahead and stand up or sit in contemplation. We're going to sing this last song and then do our baptisms.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Our judge
and our defender, suffered and crucified, forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever seated high. God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. My God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that he will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Glory to your name. Please go ahead and take your seats.
All right, so this is one of the things we love doing the most. One of our favorite things to do is celebrate baptism. And so we're going to have a lot of fun. So I like the woo already, because you guys are already picking up. Some of you, you've been at some baptisms, and some of you, this may be your first time. So I'll just talk through a little bit about what to expect. Is that baptism itself is a symbol of something significant that took place at another time. So it's not that the water does something spiritually to a person. This is, it's like a wedding ceremony. It's much like one of the most important days in my life was the day that I got married to my wife. And she said, right, don't you forget it. So the truth is that we fell in love before the wedding day. And we then on that wedding day stood before God and our friends and family and said, we're making a commitment to do life together. And we're asking the blessing of God on this journey. And we're inviting our community with us in this journey. Because we knew, even as young people getting married, that it's going to take a family around us to support us in the journey. Baptism is very, very similar. So when we baptize people, it's because they've already asked Jesus into their life. And the Bible says, just as we read earlier in Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so if a young person or an old person in their bedroom or during a church service, after church service, says, Jesus, will you save me? At that very moment, we are saved. But Jesus asks us in obedience to him to be baptized. And this baptism is a symbol of that moment. It's a testimony to the world about what Jesus is doing, and it's inviting the church to be part of the journey. So that's what we're doing today. Now, what you're going to see in a minute, and I'll kind of explain to some kids here, is what you're going to see is I'm going to introduce to you a person. Her name is Sarah, and she has asked Jesus into her life. And so when we baptize her, I'm going to lay her back into the water. And that is a symbol of her old self being buried. And then I'm going to lift her up out of the water, and that's going to be a symbol of her being born again. And so when she comes up out of the water, and she won't be in the water very long, our job is to celebrate, just like we'd celebrate if a new child came into the world. Can you guys do that?
Yeah.
You guys can do it?
Yeah.
Come on, a little more enthusiasm than that.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Can you guys help?
Yeah.
Okay. And so then after we do this, I'm going to ask you guys to stand. Not yet, but as soon as we're done, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask you to join me in praying over Sarah. I also want to tell you a little bit about Sarah, just a little bit. She is, and her husband are really new to this area. They're from Florida. And still finding their way around Tacoma, looking for family, and they're in the military. Some of you go like, "Hey, I've been there." And so, you know what? If you have a few minutes afterwards, even though she's going to be sopping wet, you might introduce yourself to Sarah and say, "Hey, Sarah, how about lunch next week or something like that?" Okay. And we also have something happening on the speakers. Pay no attention. All right. All right, so everybody, let me introduce you, Sarah. And by the way, this is Terrell. Terrell's going to be helping me. Will you hook it on the back of my shirt right there? All right. By the way, Sarah, Terrell, he's been in some similar shoes. He's served our country very, very well and selflessly and been shipped around, right, Terrell? And so he knows all about that. So... we're going to look this way. Can you say hi to everybody?
Hello.
Sarah, we are so completely honored. It's been a joy already, and it's been a couple months is all right, of starting to get to know you and your journey, and we're so honored to be a part of your journey with Jesus. And so, Sarah, I get to ask you a really important question. Who's the Lord and Savior of your life?
Jesus.
Jesus, awesome. So, Sarah, today, I almost went down. Baptize me. So, today, I'm baptizing you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and grab your nose there. Baptized into death and raised to new life. I want some of you people to come up close, and we're going to pray right now for Sarah. So, Kathy, come here close. And Kathy and Sarah have been developing a good relationship. So, Kathy, put your hand on her if you would. And Sarah, we're going to pray right now for you. Jesus, I'm so very, very grateful for the work that you've been doing in this young lady's life. God, she's been on a journey already in her life, stepping in new places and going around the world. Father, it is our prayer that this stage, this season of life would be more than just finding a new place, that she would be experiencing a daily growing relationship with you. Father, it is our prayer that you would grow her faith day in and day out. Father, give her a thirst for you and your word. Father, I pray that what you're doing in her heart and her life would resonate into her home and beyond her home into her neighborhood and beyond her neighborhood into the world. We believe that you have an immense and amazing call on this young lady's life. God, bless her so richly with intimacy with you and just mission seeping from her life. We love you in Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing your Sunday morning with us. And go get a cup of coffee or something cold to drink. And if you're not afraid of getting wet, come up here and hug Sarah. And then Kathy also reminded me that there's women's roundtable that's starting in just a few minutes. And see Kathy on where to go. And then tonight there's a field day at 4 o'clock. So God bless you guys.